Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.
Aloha, this is Enki. You know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga. Time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio, where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens, and the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelations, and the mind's true liberation.
Welcome to the Sacred Matrix, the divine paradigm of universal love. Here, we explore consciousness, learn how to awaken, remember who we are, souls, eternal cosmic beings, on a journey through life. At the Sacred Matrix, we interview world-class speakers, authors, teachers, researchers, investigators in the consciousness field. We explore existence, spirituality, and endless magical mysteries that encompass the continuum. Together, we awaken to our full potential, become the loving society we long to be and know we already are. Deep inside, now conscious, awake, and aware, we evolve, learn, grow, become love incarnate in form, and positively affect all of creation, transform all to divine love. Join us. Follow the Sacred Matrix at AquarianRadio.com. Learn more, contribute to our evolution at SacredMatrix.com.
And here are your hosts, Dr. Sasha and Janet Lesson.
Aloha, welcome to Aquarian Radio, AquarianRadio.com. I am your host, Janet K. Lesson, and we're broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii. My co-host today is Teresa J. Morris, TJ Morris. TJ, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. This is the first time I'm using my mixer board on Blog Talk Radio, so I didn't know if it worked, but here we are.
Yeah, it's a little muffled, so something might need to be turned down a little bit. I don't know if you have that power.
One notch
on the board. You know how it shows notches and color? Mm-hmm. Maybe one notch. I think you sound better now.
Good. I'll look back. I was too close. Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
On the speaker system, I have a panel. It's a little bit more sophisticated than the back end of what I'm seeing. Blog Talk, and on the Spreaker, it tells me when I'm too loud
you know, it actually goes up to, you know, the red, the yellow, it says, you're too loud.
Oh, okay, so good. Well, you sound a lot better. You sound a little muffled, and when you, you know, for people to come back and hear the tapes later, you'll be able to hear there was a little bit of a difference. But great, I get to help you with your first new intro to your new board and everything. So thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. So for our listening audience out there, TJ and myself, we've been doing radio shows since, June of 2012?
Yes, and the first week, June 3rd, 2012. So that's sure in the new time frame for our Ascension Center organization, Ascension Age, Aquarian Age. But we were actually introducing ourselves with the Stargate to the Cosmos energy we were working together to create, to get to know both our friends together, you know.
Yeah, so the Stargate to the Cosmos is going to be back. We don't have everything ready yet. We're still negotiating the speakers, but we do have a contract signed. And it's going to be June 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's in Vegas, Las Vegas, and we'll be launching the website sometime next week, I think.
Wonderful.
We expect to fill up and sell out because it's a small venue. We're doing these little niche conferences. There's only going to be about 200, maybe 250. We're seeing if they can squeeze in some more chairs for us. So that's a possibility. So we're real excited. I hope you can come, TJ. A lot of people are driving in. You know, everything's so expensive nowadays. That's why we switched to Vegas. It's cheaper. It's central. The venues have just gotten so outrageous for the people that are producing events. So this is a more reasonable, of course, there is a cost to it. It's, nothing's free. And we've cut down our price. I don't have the prices, but I think it's going to be something like $100 for all 3 days.
Wow, so, that'd be a good price, I think. Are you going to have experiential workshops or just one big conference room with videos and speakers and a side room?
This is just going to be speakers. It's going to be 12 to 14 speakers. And then on Saturday and Sunday, there's a dinner. And I'm not sure how Lorian's setting it all up. I'm not doing the website, which is good. I think somebody else for once. I'm always doing the back end stuff on that. But I think it's something like you can register to have dinner with the speakers, and like each, there'll be like tables of 10 people. So 9 people can have dinner with the speakers, different speakers. 10 at each table. You can request who you want to have dinner with, and when that one's, you know, taken, you get to the next one and the next one. So it's going to be very exciting, and this will be the second one that Lorian's producing. She's doing a Super Soldiers conference at the same venue in May, and I don't have the dates in front of me, but we will be getting those commercials and starting to put those up here and promoting these events and other events. You know, I think that's what's going to create this ascension age, which is what you and I were talking about. How do we get this ascension process to activate it and start working on a higher level to create consciousness for the planet? Hold on 1 second. Okay, go ahead. What did you say again?
No, that's great. Yeah, I'm hoping the ascension will be part of the Stargate to the Cosmos, and we can get some type of speakers. But, yeah, it's important to have a – we've been working for the last 5 years on creating a guidebook and working, you know, to set up events and workshops and conventions and have life coaches and personal consultants. And I've, you know, trying to get back into helping as many as we can with our community online practicing skills. So it sort of encompasses all of that. And I'm working with personal opinions and people's social behaviors, which creates the ascension age. And the whole thing has changed because we have the internet now, right? We have not only the life cyberspace internet we call the Akashic field, but we're not going to let our technology take over the life files in the Akashic field. But we're certainly going to work with people that want to use the cyberspace and the internet, because it allows us, you know, to use all these new tools to get out to a lot more people, a lot more groups, you know, the niches around the world, you know. just like a lot of these shows are doing now. We used to think TV may not be the greatest thing to tune into in these latter days, but at the same time, we've learned to turn the energy into positive aspects with law of attraction, law of manifestation, and use the cosmos type of energy to assist people with higher consciousness, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think that's critical, is changing your perspective. I was just having a conversation this morning with a fellow who came here to do some work around the house. And we were just, you know, it's amazing when you have these wonderful metaphysical New Age conversations. It's all over the place now. And we're talking about this shift that's happening and the awakening. And I get phone calls and I get people all the time saying, you know, what's happening? Something, it didn't seem like something happened on 12/21/12, but something did happen. And today is the spring equinox, and so it's continuing, and people are noticing it and it's becoming apparent. So let me give you a couple of examples. So he was saying, you know, what's going on here? And so he was telling me how last night he was dreaming, and he woke up, and he knew he was wide awake, but he heard somebody walking around his apartment, and, you know, he thought it was like his girlfriend, and she was creating a surprise for him because he had been on a lengthy trip. So he heard all these balloons rustling and they were being placed in place. And then he finally fell asleep after a while. He just said, oh, I'll see it in the morning. I don't want to spoil her surprise. So when he woke up, there was nothing there. And he said, what is going on? And so I said, well, I think you were having a bleed through in the dimensions. And I guess the main reason that I converged on that response was because earlier that day I had been on with Nora Held, who is a channeler, and she's going to be at the fourth density conference in the LA area this coming weekend. And so she was talking about, the ascension process did happen, and we are now simultaneously a third-dimensional being and accessing and starting to move into our fifth-dimensional higher selves. And so it was a wonderful concept, and as I was listening to her, I kept getting goosebumps, which is like an affirmation that she's speaking truth. So then last night, my dream was very strange because I became aware in the dream that I'm not dreaming. And I was on this other planet, and there were all these cues that this was beyond a dream state, but this was, you know, one of those events that are really happening. And so there I was becoming aware of my multidimensional self. Now, you talked to me earlier today about this Ankh. Could you tell our audience what happened with this Ankh?
Well, it sounds strange to those that aren't really initiated at certain levels in the Ascension age of the old new age, or the what we called Aquarian age in music, like the age of Aquarius, if you remember the song, you know, which we refer to a lot. But with our changing with the veil the thinnest, and today's a very popular day through the 22nd and 23rd, but we're having specialized happenings around the globe, and a lot of people have always believed in this harmonic convergence. And I was one of those that worked with that group. I'm sure you were too back, you know, in many
years. Well, actually, I just was paying attention from afar. I was back when that, what was it, data net? It was 80, what was it, 87?
11/11/87 is the one we most of us use, yeah.
No, I was totally out of that loop. I was in my yuppie years. I was living in Pittsburgh. I was just in a whole other realm because I was trying to conform and fit in with what I thought was normal life. And so I was in with all these accountants and bookkeepers and professionals and working big jobs. And so we missed that until I moved to Hawaii in 93. We've talked about our synergistic connections that happened there. And then I was aware, I did hear about it. Yes, I was working at Penn State University, and they had the internet. But most of the people in 1989 or 90 did not have the internet. So I think my first awareness was I happened upon that in 1989. They were talking about 2 years before they had this 11-11-87 harmonic convergence. So, what were you doing when that was going on?
Actually, I was in Hawaii. I had come over. That was my first year. I was really amazed. I was working for the U.S. Navy at the time. I had just flown to Washington for my official new rehire paperwork, polygraph, retina scan, psychological eval, and all of that, because I was sort of like, you know, you too. I was having to do a 3D world reality check, and I still had children, so I had, me and my four daughters, so I was having to take care of them. They'd flown up to Chicago, and then it was a very important year for them and me. We had watched Shirley MacLaine and the show, and so they were they'd had a lot of UFO sightings with me in preparation, so we had talked about, you know, the change in how we were all going to get along better, and the, you know, the vibrations would be higher, and people would start waking up with the harmonic convergence. So we were working with some people. A girl had actually started it over in North Carolina. I can't for the life of me right now remember her name. It's really common for us old hippie type people. But I was not a hippie, but I guess in spirit I was. I was an old soul that had been reincarnated and had, you know, past life experiences and near death and out of body, and then a lot of UFO contact experiences. And then, you know, if you remember Close Encounters with Steven Spielberg had come out.
Oh, yes.
What
year
was
that?
Going on. So, and then Shirley MacLaine.
That was, 77, 78 or something. Close Encounters
and then
of the
Star Wars, right? Star Wars. And you were a Star Trekkie, so I know you're a Trekker. Tricky, and so I know you were going to those conferences. So a lot of us were learning about each other. Most of it was about trying to come together wherever you were and create what we called light circles and raising the consciousness then. And it sort of came over, I guess in a way you'd have to think it was people without the internet, prior to the internet. So we were already connected and learning about each other, which was a real amazing thing. If you think about it, how did we do that, right? So we would learn about each other through books and authors and bookstores and metaphysical stores. And the college.
That was where I found the connection. Was I would go to bulletin boards, and people, this is going to sound archaic to young listeners out there, but we used to have to write up things and put on bulletin boards and put ads in newspaper, like we're having this meeting, this group is happening here and there. But, you know, I was just talking to somebody about the differences in our societies right now, because we, in some ways, had better social skills because we did have to get out and actually meet face-to-face. And these kids today, my husband was telling me that they have a new way of dating because they're so locked into their computers and iPhones and iPads and all these devices that they carry around and look at all the time. They don't have the social skills, and so they're dating in groups. So, for example, they'll have a guy and a girl, let's just say these are heterosexual people, and the girl will bring two of her friends, and the guy will bring two of his friends, and they're doing this group dating. Not that the friends are dating, but the two primary that want to, you know, explore dating and getting to know each other, they're like a backup. So if the date doesn't happen, if there's no real attraction, then at least they have a good time. You know, they just go out and have this sort of fun thing.
Yeah,
but,
a lot of kids are real connected that way. And then on television, they've got all these new shows that talk about, you know, meeting each other. And, of course, there's internet dating. And, you know, for the last, I guess, 10 years or maybe 20, they've had all these internet dating and internet marriages. And I've met quite a few people. And my brother's already been, he's on his second internet marriage.
Well, mine is an internet marriage. In fact, I first had an internet divorce because I met a man on the internet, and, you know, I was married and miserable, and so was he. So we ended up, I actually left my partner for a while, then he went back to his. But from that got me to Hawaii, and then I once again, I met my husband on the internet. Didn't meet him in a dating group. There's other ways to meet, like, you know, like we meet. We met. We met because of some kind of communication we had, because of some kind of common connection. You know, we exchanged emails. So I am an internet marriage and an internet divorce, which is kind of interesting. So you see this, and this all helps with the evolution of consciousness and the ascension process. That's one of the things we have to be aware of, that there's a polarity in everything. So there's a good side and a bad side of everything. So, you know, your enemies, so to speak, actually are your catalyst to help you develop and propel. You know, just say you hate evil on the planet, you hate war, what you don't like helps you define yourself and is a catalyst for you to, you know, create peace and love and the opposite, the polar opposite. So,
right, we have a lot of people that we believe, we've established this as to what each of us, we all believe we're special and we all believe that we're stardust, but we also believe in reincarnation and that we've all got these special forces out there, you know, like May the Force Be With You from, you know, all the movies with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. So a lot of us believe in a grand design and a grand architect. And, you know, depending on your level of interest, some of us substitute families with our star people family, or, you know, those that came before. And that's, we talk about remedies in this life. And the ascension age got to be about, you know, encompassing all dimensions, all realms, all desires, all your soul families, your soul groups, and why we're here and what we're doing and what we're creating as a social behavior, because a lot of our friends started reincarnating again on this planet, come back to help for this raising of consciousness to affect the co-creation, you know, with the grand design and what some people call the divine plan. And this harmonic convergence took on the New Age, Ascension Age, Aquarian Age energy, you know, to be created all in one. And a lot of the people really did believe, and some of them will still testify in their testimony to this day in this Aquarian Age and New Age, is that their friends have ascended. You know, a lot of people don't believe in death, even if their body is physical, you know, becomes part of Mother Earth. They just feel like it's a blending and a choice. So a lot of our people that we're reading, and especially in education and in therapy and psychology, crossed over into New Age type of therapy, you know, from the Aquarian Age, and working with people, not only astrologers, but a lot of them became psychics, mystics, oracles, prophets, sage seers, you know, the type that they had special talents and gifts. And then we also found out a lot of them back then believed in, there's various names. We won't go into all the details. But a lot of them followed peyote and ayahuasca and all that. And I never took that travel, but I did follow Dan Millman, Spiritual Warrior, and
Celestine
Prophecies, books like that, that made you feel better, you know. And then Wayne Dyer, a lot of the motivational speakers. And then we went into the Earhart and Ron Hubbard, and then the guy that started Psy Seminars. I don't remember his name, but I followed that. Do you remember his name by any chance?
I remember when I got in there, it was well established, and I was just a little peon in the middle of this sea, this giant sea of people. So
the motivation was to, you know, to raise your awareness and consciousness and help other people make their way.
Break off of EST. Was that part of EST?
EST. EST was Werner Earhart.
Werner Earhart, right. So
yeah.
Different attempts to work, and I really have to add that back in the 60s, they started the song The Age of Aquarius with Hair, which was a rock opera, and I think that song was like the initial seed. There was an age, and so we went through the 60s with that and into the 70s, and then the next major event around that was the Harmonic Convergence in 87, and then but all these different ways of clearing your chakras, I assume it that way, but clearing your parental issues and your religious and cultural conditioning programming, developed from all these different psychotechnologies, and you mentioned the entheogens and people that are doing the shamanic path. I actually had someone call me in the last few days, and they sometimes people do shamanic journeys, and they call me to process, because when they do some kind of shamanic practice, it starts opening this download, and they're going, what does that mean? And, we do a lot of free counseling with people, but then everybody call me, please, I do have a life. But some people have known for years, and they'll call us, and we'll just spend, 15, 20 minutes, half hour, helping them integrate their experiences, because what we desire is to reach critical mass and have this ascension process. And the ascension process, sometimes people like that term, they don't like it. But for me, it's just, and you can talk about what it means to you. To me, it's an awareness of our multidimensional self and our eternal being and who we are on this greater awareness plane. Right now, in our human form, we're kind of locked into the matrix, and we think we are human. We think we are what we think, and we have a limited perspective on ourselves and the entire existence in the universe. What does the ascension process mean to you, TJ?
Well, basically the same. God's allowed us all, if you want to say the God source, the grand architect, or whatever, the God that has always been in us all, we've earned various levels of being. And in his love, because in the Ascension Age and Ascension Center or Ascension Spirituality, we all channel, and we channel our inner gifts. And we all say the greatest metaphysician that has ever walked the earth was Christ, which is the Christ consciousness in us all, with spirituality and channeling. And we work with the ascended masters, and there's various ones of those. And so basically what ascension means to me is raising your own consciousness and awareness to rise and go to another dimension. But having a near-death and out-of-body experience in this particular life, it allowed me to open up a lot of levels that I had been in touch with from prior lifetimes. And I realized that a lot of those prior lifetimes are incarnated in part of me now. And yet on the other part of me, I guess in connection, the bond of the stardust that we all become and come to Earth and have a vessel, an earthly vessel, is we come here to enjoy the process of whatever we may not have known as a higher dimensional being prior. You know, when we had an intuitive soul in the beginning, when we had all this energy and vibration that we say we'll go back to. But it's very comforting to know that there's a hereafter for people like me that, and you too. I'm sure we all believe, you and I have had discussions, believing in our incarnated past lives and in what we were able to do. And most of the people that I found out in the ascension process, there's a book by Gail and Mark Rice, R-I-E-S. They actually wrote a book. And then there's Tony Stubbs that wrote the book on ascension, and he's still out there. But these people follow all these teachers, and they channel their higher selves. And to me, ascension's about recognizing, first of all, that you do have a body, mind, spirit, and that you have a soul. And we believe in our ancient ancestors and that alien civilizations exist, but that we all come from the same place. Now, whether it's through evolution eventually, as we take from one, a little microbe or whatever you want to call it, the smallest form in metaphysics or in quantum physics for that matter, the theory of everything is in each little minute piece. But we want to go back to where we came from, because we learned over time that so many of us were here in soul groups with some of the same journey memories and pleasures, and we wanted to ascend again, but we also, a lot of us decided to come back and help prepare a lot of our babies, our seeds, our star seeds out there, to help transition and making these other worlds and these other places, because we were ever expanding. So Mother Earth is just one place that we choose to do that, and then she, of course, will ascend over time. There's a saying that she'll ascend in after 2020, but from what I've gathered from all this intelligence knowledge, or the intelligence in the Akashic field, from all the beings that came prior, including some of mine and your past lives, is the ascension process is learning to know who you are, why you're here, where you're going when you leave the planet, and choosing to believe that there is an ascension process. And we use a Reiki symbol, and we use Namaste, and, you know, all these things that people wonder about. But they're all basically relating to the various levels, and I sort of wanted to go into that with you, too. But, you know, there's angels
yeah.
and spirit guides, and, you know, people say, well, what are the avatars, and what are the elders, and, you know, these groups, and who are all these people from the Pleiades and Andromeda?
I need to ask you a couple questions, and we'll go into that in just a second here.
Okay.
First of all, but we're talking, you mentioned channeling earlier, and some people, you know, in the Bible have said, this is what my mother said, you know, it's something that you can't talk to spirits or something, and it's evil and demonic, and yet there's so many people channeling. I was just, I looked up, you know, who are the famous channelers, and let me just find this paper real quick here. It was amazing. You know, like Neil Donald Walsh, he channels God, and we had Edgar Casey, and Ruth Montgomery, and Barbara Marciniak, and Jane Roberts, and Esther Hicks with Abraham, and Helen Schuchman with The Course in Miracles, and there was messages from Michael with Chelsea Quinlebo, and on, Elizabeth Clare, Prophet, J.C. Knight, Eddie Kirkwood with all the messages from Mary, and so on and so on. So there's all these people that are channeling, and I think it's a very good thing, but there's people that are out there saying that. That's, what's your opinion on the information coming through?
We're in a dual society, and everybody has the right to believe. It just depends on what level they are in the ascension process as to what they choose to dedicate their own brains and their minds to believing about their souls. But, you know, there's positive and negative, and you have to ask yourself, you know, the power to discern as to what is the wonder of life in you, you know, as to what
right.
who do you pray to and who do you believe is your source. And there's a galactic center for the universe, and this particular galaxy, we have our own, you know, center, and that's supposed to be the dark, you know, the dark or black hole, you know, and then they say that there's one in the sun. So a lot of people believe, and they'll attach, which you and I have talked about before, archetypes. They'll attach
right.
whatever level of understanding in communication that they believe in. And so we all have our own filters, right? We can't really channel something in, you know, another language. Usually the people, if you're familiar with channels, if they're born in China and they speak Chinese or Mandarin, you know, all the languages and over there, they're going to usually speak what they believe in their energy, in their vibration, and then
right.
they'll speak
in their
language.
Language.
So that's sort
right.
of like the testament, us talking of speaking in tongues. But, you know, if you're really a student of the Bible in Ascension, you'll know that there has to be an interpreter there, because it's
right.
sort of like when a tree falls, you know, If you don't hear the sound, does it fall really? You know, there's other ways to say that, but does it really happen? So you have to have a person perceive and achieve a clearance level in their own brain in order to pursue what's being said, and if they even want to listen to what's being said. So a channel, from what I understand, you know, we all channel it some form or another, but in art, we say, sort of, Truman Capote said it best, but basically, because of the arts, we can use metaphysics and alchemy to change our world. In other words, go into another world with our mind. You can take anything, no matter where you are, and change it, and that's what true alchemy
right.
is
mm-hmm.
changing your existence. So, you know, to me, channeling is a choice. It's a way to communicate your own higher self. But we're, you know, those
yeah,
in attention, we're
seeking. Explain that to our listeners. Explain that to our listeners, because we were covering this on yesterday's show. What is a higher self and what is an oversoul from your perspective?
Well, that goes back to those that, first of all, that believe in creation. You have to believe in, you can't really be an atheist and believe in an oversoul. You know, so you first of all, you have to establish you have to almost establish that you believe that there is a creator. So, you know, that automatically puts you into that evolutionist versus creationist argument. You know, you can say, well, science has been established and proved, and then, you know, a creationist will say, and that is your opinion, right? So we're going through this life change of understanding scientifically this enormous fluctuation of energy that's been prepared for us, you know, but not to be overcome.
Spirituality at a whole new level, because they're really realizing it's a spurious dichotomy to, you know, in science you have to have everything, you have to consider everything in the equation in order to be truly analytical and neutral. If you don't include the unknown, then how can you have the whole formula, right? So they're having to include information that previously was outside, beyond their normal way of looking at things. They kind of had themselves in a box, but now they're including spirituality and finding the God molecule and finding God or source or universal consciousness. And so quantum physics and spirituality, and these are all merging as we see this ascension process happening, and the veil's coming down, and the Wizard of Oz is behind this mechanism that's a matrix, our artificial matrix. So.
Right, who's really behind the curtain, I think, is your analogy there. And that's what channeling is about. It's like, who are they really channeling, and who are they saying they are channeling? Because each individual cannot know except for themselves. Now, if you have, like I said, if you believe in all this, you know, what we call ascension age and the way of being with others, it's more of we understand the veil is thinner, and we are a world of duality. It involves everything has a dual reality, and the third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, and you'll hear a lot of people talking about levels and dimensions, and our ascension masters are said, such as Angel Gabriel or Michael or the angels, a lot of them, because they, at one time, I guess you could say in the old Bible study, which is now on television as well, but there's we're coming to understand the words that have been voiced and the vibrations and changed into various languages around the world. And so we're all deciding whether we believe in the scientific proof based on all the archaeologists and anthropologists around the world and all the scientists and what they're proving or disproving as to what they physically found as the giants on Earth and what energy the pyramids had. And so those are things we can see. So there's tangible and intangible evidence. And those are things we're trying to prove in the ascension process. But, you know, in the ascension age, it's supposed to be the golden age of cosmology and dealing with the entire cosmos, which goes back to, again, the ascension process of raising your own molecular structure. And, you know, we do change. And right now, if you're three-dimensional, third dimensional, you're in a body-mind-physical, you're body-mind-spirit. But the spirit is a choice. But the way we like to say it is, if you've got your physical vessel, your body, and you've got your mind inside your brain, you know, you pretty much can figure that out. But when your heart stops and your mind stops working, does your spirit leave the body? And most people who have ever seen anybody die, then that's proof scientifically to them.
Right.
Oh, well, where did, you know, let's say it was your mommy. Where did mommy go?
Where does mommy go? Yeah. So how do you go past what's visible in the third dimension with those type of concepts? Then you go into belief. What do you believe? What do you, it becomes, but then again, there's some people like you and me with the discarded some ghost contact.
Well, there's other beings that live on the planet. And lot of them, here's one of the concepts from Telos in the ascension age and the ascension process, is that billions of years, even before the Anunnaki, were these other beings, you know, from the original co-creator and the divine. And, you know, when you get into the extraterrestrial belief system, a lot of them believe that that we go multidimensional. And that's why you'll hear in the ascension age them talk about all these dimensions. So the ghost.
Well, just to a little aside on, you know, how the Anunnaki came here 450,000 years ago, but they're finding remains and archaeological digs that are way older than that. As we start to get to the layers of mud that have been put over the various times we had floods and down the Noah's flood. So we have found physical remains that are millions, if not billions, of years old. Think about it. The planet's been around for, four plus billion years. So,
A matter of opinion, isn't it? 15 billion years? We come up with these numbers, so yeah. It's still a matter of opinion. But, 15, we like to say.
The whole time, just to think it this has only been inhabited in the later years, the last 100,000 years or 300,000 years is kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
Well,
there's a lot of intelligent people, beings, life coming through here.
Well, before for years, and probably when you and I were growing up, we were told or taught that we were like at only the 5,000 or 5,500 with the pyramids. Now they've found out, that's blown out of the water, and then we have a lot of other places. I can't ever say it, Göbekli Tepe or something like that, that's 15,000 or more years. So that blew out the pyramid and the 5,000. So they've changed all that from before Abraham and in the book of the Bible.
Absolutely scientifically proven, so to speak, according to our traditional educational system and what comes through the television and the movies, gets blown out of the water all the time. So what is scientific proof? What is proof? And one day they have proof and tomorrow it's just gone. It's like, that's not true. So we're infants here in this exploration of what is this reality even?
Well, that's why people like Edgar Cayce and all these people that could channel. He was a sleeping prophet, and he got most of his by relaxing and going into his higher state of consciousness. And you're asking about your higher consciousness or higher self. And we believe that the universe has a tapped source of souls. And people will say that he was actually reading the Akashic field of what's been in the past, dealing with this planet. And so a lot of the Avatar masters and ascended masters all came to be known for being older than the life readings of the A-field, meaning that their beings, their actual life force came from the original way before what they said God has always been. So the ascended masters, they actually work sort of like the Christ consciousness. And, even though there was a God source at those levels, you have to go back to the eternal all there is in eternity, and what in physics or quantum physics we call infinity squared. But it's the dual society of believing that there was a place called Telos, or T-E-L-O-S, is right now the old theme from 2010 and the rites of initiation to go down from the original, what you and I have discussed before, was the seven levels of the universe: multiverse, metaverse, universe, omniverse, alphaverse, and omegaverse. And you and I in past shows, at least on the other show, we were discussing the film, and you'd even had, designs of definitions, and we dream. So a lot of us believe in the dream state, and that, this physical state that we see is, we create together by choice. And each individual has the right to create their own universe inside the multiverse, inside the metaverse, and
That's what's happening all along, is that we have, minimum of 7 billion souls, and they all have their own multiverses, and all we can hope for at best is some kind of consensus reality. But even that, it's okay to have the different universes. And then there's something external to that, which is the group mind, the matrix, the morphogenic field, which is the co-creation of all of us. And so that seems to be the external force that comes in and gives us, a sense of reality. But we're continually, Matthew Hammond says that there's a dark hole, talk about the dark hole, the singularity, he calls it. And that actually is a little mini vortex, which continually feeds from the individual, be it a particle or a being or a planet or, a sun or a moon or whatever it is. The individual thing is constantly feeding its thoughts, ideas, concepts, energy up into the source, all the rules, and then in an instant it comes back. So you can actually change existence by your thoughts, by continually feeding positive energy and loving thoughts and good thoughts to the morphogenic field. And then it comes around and creates a new you, and you get, you know, so this is how you up-level and ascend, is by noticing that you have, you know, a negative thought or experience, and learning to let it go, and learning to let it go faster and process it and ascend individually in each moment through every day until the ascension process happens on this global scale. And, of course, it'll happen on a galactic scale and universal scale. That's kind of my understanding a little bit of how we are all co-creators. And so, sure, if you want to have a dark reality, which we've had this conversation on our previous shows, there's some people that really kind of get their rocks off with all this negativity. And that is free will and choice. And perhaps that's what they're talking about with the ascension process. I don't know if you say, but what has been we've been looking at with some of the theories on the ascension process is that there might be a new earth and the old earth, and those who really want to experience, you know, death and dying and killing and murder and war and all these negative things will continue in that reality. Is that, do you have any comments on that or perception?
Well, yeah, that's the old paradigm, and it still goes on, even in the metaphysical world that we work in. Hold on, I dropped a phone.
Okay, go ahead.
But, yeah, if it sounds a little funny, it's because I have two phones here. But anyway, there's a dual way, a dichotomy of, you know, we've got a dualistic society here in order to learn positive and negative, and as long as we're on this planet, it's going to be that way, light and dark and positive and negative and good and bad. And, you know, our created critical mass utopia was to always not have that, but in order to be on this planet, this is the way this particular universe is set up. So you have to rise above all that, but once you do, then you become particles and waves again, and that goes into your singularity or into quantum physics and the whole opportunity to even see yourself from a parallel universe, which science is just now getting into with people like Michio Kaku and through the wormhole, all these television shows that are offering and realizing we're not as stupid as they thought we were in the critical mass populace, because so many people were raised strictly by, you know, bullets and bandages are the empires and the religions, you know, and the kingdoms that were put here prior, you know, and you know about the Anunnaki because your husband, you know, has a degree in.
Oh, yeah, I've been studying it myself. Right, we both study it extensively, and it's fascinating information because it actually will break the God spell. And I want to ask you a little bit about the new show that's on, I guess it's the History Channel, but let me finish this sentence, is that from our perspective, what we're learning, and we are, you know, we're just studying, right? We're continual students, and we're putting it out there as soon as we kind of have an awareness, and we're willing to take, you know, feedback and to look at things, and that's, I think, part of the whole process is staying open-minded, and what we're looking for is a paradigm which will respect consciousness, and from my perspective, you know, evil is disrespect of consciousness. So looking for a one-for-all paradigm which will affect all creation, all humanity, and allow each of us to live with dignity, beauty, grace, and have our basic needs and everything met. So we're looking for that paradigm by looking at the ancient information and see where this original God spell came into place, which is the religions. The religions have spirituality in them, but there's all this programming anchored into religions, which have people doing crazy things. Like when I was a child, I went to Sunday school, and we were singing Onward Christian Soldiers Marching Off to War. That has nothing to do with Christ or Source. I think God was I think what happened was religion got obfuscated by some kind of megalomaniacs that had their own agenda to keep humanity polarized and at war with each other. And that was the downside. Now, what did we gain from having centuries, thousands of years of war? Well, I think the concept being a war process showed a lot of people what they don't like. I never identified with war. You know, I've never killed anybody. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to be killed. And so that was a catalyst for us to say, well, what would we really like to have a peaceful planet, and is there enough to do if we're at peace? You know, some people, they like to do war and war games because it's like it's something to do. Well, do you really have to do things that will benefit only you at the expense of somebody else, the apparent others? So that's what we're looking at. I want to ask you, since you've told me how we don't, have you watched that new show on the Bible on the History Channel? And what did you think about
it? I've seen a couple of them, but yeah, it's basically true to form. It's just taking a. I love the actress. She played on that. I've forgotten her name. I apologize for that. You know, the red hair. She played on the show. You remember she speaks with an Irish or Australian accent, and she and her husband are the ones that are, they own the new show. You know the girl. You know
oh,
what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know who you're talking about. What show was she on? Do you
she
remember
was
what,
the one that walked
movie?
Around and played an angel. And I can't believe it's not. It's past Michael. I don't do good 3D sometimes. I say Michael Landon had one of the shows. You know, as an angel from heaven.
Yeah.
And then this woman, I know you've seen it. It wasn't, who was it? Della Reese was the black lady that she worked with. And they went around helping people. They were angels on earth going around helping people. But she it's an actress, and she owns the Bible rights, her and her husband. That's they're producing it, own it, the whole bit. And,
like a purely kind of Christian perspective,
going strictly from the Bible. That's why they're calling it the Bible. They're just literally telling the stories out of the Bible. They may have a little twist on it. Like I saw the one with Sodom and Gomorrah, which was Goliath, David and Goliath. Or no, who was it? Oh God, what is wrong with me? I've been sick with this virus, so I mean I know the information you're trying to get out of me. But this gentleman, he had his locks. It's all these Bible stories, but he had his locks. He had the power of God gave him strength in his hair. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Samson. Samson and Delilah, of course. And Delilah cuts his hair for money, and he loses his power, and they blind him, and then he pushes down the temple and all that. But, yeah, it's just basically the stories that's already been written and put in the Gutenberg Bible and then translated to the King James Version, you know.
The Bible through the eyes of what if this was all extraterrestrials and so that's kind of what Sitchin does. He looks at the Bible and he goes, well, you know, what did Ezekiel travel on? Well, that was a UFO. And Sodom and Gomorrah, what was that? Well, that was a nuclear holocaust. And what were the angels? Well, they were just the emissaries from, you know, the Anunnaki. And what was just sitting? Well, it was just two factions. And there was no sin. They just said, well, you know, just because they didn't like the other person's politics, they were sinning. But they weren't really sinning. They were just the other side. They were the other faction. And so we're just going through it, kind of Bible stories, piece by piece. Where you know, what if this was extraterrestrials? And you know, it makes a lot more sense that you know, what was going on with the Red Sea parting? Well, that was just some kind of technology or. So we're looking at all the hypotheses on, you know, scientifically and from the ancient aliens' perspective, what happened in this scenario and that scenario and that scenario. So that's what we've been doing on Aquarian Radio. If you want to go in the back episodes, listeners, it's on Aki Speaks, which is, we have all these archived on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, but also on AquarianRadio.com. So just go, if you want to. It's a lot of detail, maybe more than you want to listen to, but when we're doing these episodes, these big lights are going off in my head, and they're going, aha, because, you know, I was very conditioned and programmed going to Sunday school as a child, and I know you were too, but when I would like to maybe take a little break here and come back and talk about your experience as far as listeners with extraterrestrials, things beyond five senses reality, because I think that is what allows people to ascend. When they go beyond this box that we're, that most people spend their lives in, but I think with 12-21-12, the box has expanded. It's you know, it's not solid molecules. There are spaces between the molecules, and it's permeable, and there's a bleed through reality. And so you have some people that are kind of normal, and they're having these non-ordinary paranormal experiences, or maybe having contact with extraterrestrials or having sightings. So that, I think, is the read-through and realizing that this is an artificial matrix and, you know, the curtain's coming down like the Wizard of Oz.
Well, so, that's what the Ascension was talking about, too, because we believe in beings of light and the process that we go through to go back to immortality in the beginning, you know, and enlightened immortals. So we believe in all that. You know, we don't discount the Bible stories or any of the other Akashic, you know, level of any of the records on Earth, right? We're just add to.
Yeah, let me take a couple-minute break here, okay? Because I'm just going to take a little break, and I'll put a commercial on so you can stay listening, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. All right, so thanks.
Peace, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Spaceship Earth. Her ongoing mission to reach out to new peoples and create conscious, kind, loving, civilized civilizations. Societies free from crime, disease, murder, and war. Worlds where each citizen is born with basic sentient life rights. The right to live in dignity, truth, beauty, and authentic peace. A lasting peace full of love, with clean water, fresh air, unpolluted soil, healthy food, comfortable homes, and education free from programming, propaganda, and political agendas. Worlds where all have right livelihood, where their work's so much fun it feels like play because they're doing something to earn a living that they truly enjoy. These worlds, free from political systems that deny basic life rights, support freedom for all. Its citizens, free, are a choice, free to choose their own spiritual paths, relationship choices, sexual orientations, and govern their own bodies, souls, and selves from their heart's desire. Worlds where each citizen is encouraged to co-create with Source in unique, idiosyncratic, individualistic ways. They're supported to create diversity, maximize individual expression, respect individuals while embracing ahimsa, do no harm to any person, group, or the whole. Together, remembering our oneness, eternally connected, united by universal, unconditional, unlimited love, we boldly go where no world has ever gone before.
Hello, we're back. TJ, are you still there? Hi, TJ. Alrighty, she might be still awake. I'm going to play a little commercial that I have for this conference that's coming up. I'll be right back.
Portal to Ascension presents the Cosmic Reunion 4th Density Conference, which has come forth to raise the individual and collective vibration of our planet through the unification of some of the most inspiring figures in the fields of extraterrestrial awareness, unity consciousness, and unconditional love. Some of the speakers include Anelia Benz, Peter Sterling, Laura Eisenhower, Barbara Lamb, and many more. Come join us at the Temple of Light in Irvine, California on March 30th and 31st as we remember our connection to our star family so that we may usher in a new paradigm of universal love and oneness. For more information about the Cosmic Reunion 4th Density Conference, visit our website at portaltoascension.org. That's portaltoascension.org.
Aloha, we're back. TJ, have you come back from your break? All right, we're going to try one more commercial, and hopefully TJ will join us. Actually, this is a wonderful thing called Imagine, right? It's read by Dr. Sasha Lesson. And for those who can make it to the 4th Density Reunion Conference in Southern California at the Temple of Light, it's an awesome event. I went to one of those last year, and I had a great time. Okay, here's Imagine with Dr. Sasha Lesson.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one.
This is Janet Kiernesson, broadcasting live from Hawaii, Hawaii. It is 6.02 p.m. I don't know if we've lost TJ, but I think that might be sufficient for today. Thank you, all these wonderful listeners out there. Thank you for coming on board and listening to us here on Black Talk Radio and Speaker. And do come check us out again tomorrow. And everything is archived on AquariumRadio.com. So, unless TJ's there, TJ, nope, I guess she's gone. So, aloha, love, and blessings from Maui, Hawaii.